You know, when our daughter Carissa was a little girl, one year she was so excited about Christmas that she could hardly contain herself. She was just totally amped. She was talking about the presents, and she was fascinated with all the presents under the tree, and she was wondering about, you know, Santa Claus is coming, is he going to give me what I wanted from him, what I asked for? And, you know, she was talking so much about it. Being a pastor, I saw this as an important preaching opportunity. You know, it's easy for pastors to think they need to straighten everyone out with their great theological wisdom, including their own kids. Parenting tends to teach us otherwise. Anyway, I said, you know, Carissa, Christmas is about a lot more than receiving gifts. It's a lot more than presents. And she said, just kind of cut me off, said, Dad, I know. I know that Christmas is really about Jesus coming into the world as a baby to save us. And she paused, and then she said, but I also really love presents. You know, our Christmas celebration obviously involves giving and receiving presents, gifts. And as a young dad, you know, I was tempted to think I had to make a course correction in my daughter's thinking to help her get her focused on the right thing, but now that I've matured, or gotten older, maybe I should say that, now that I've gotten older, I see that a little bit differently. Truth is, Christmas is about receiving gifts. Gifts of such enormous value, we can't even begin to measure them. I want to point out, I want to talk about Jesus versus Santa Claus. Jesus and Santa Claus represent two very different ways of living and thinking about things. And it's represented by two songs that you hear a lot at this season of the year. The first one is, Santa Claus is coming to town. Listen to the words. Oh, you'd better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice, right? We all know he makes a list, right? The naughty and nice list, it's a cliche because everybody knows about it. He sees you and he knows if you're naughty or you're nice, and so you'd better watch out and be nice, right? Or you won't get anything. The other song I want you to think about is O Little Town of Bethlehem. We haven't sung it tonight, but you've heard it. It says of Bethlehem on the second verse, on the night of Jesus' birth, that the hopes and fears of all the years were met in that town that night. And then it says how silently the wondrous gift is given, and God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. The important thing to notice there is it's a gift. What do you know about a gift? A gift is something that's freely given. It's not earned. It can't be deserved. If it has to be earned, it's not a gift. If it comes with requirements, by definition, it's not a gift. A gift is something that is purely a result of grace and kindness and love. To whom is this gift given? Well, in John 1:12, the Apostle John talked about this and said it's to any who are willing to believe in Jesus and to receive the gift. In other words, how do you get this gift? You just accept it. You receive it. In Ephesians verse 2, chapter 2, verse 8, Paul wrote, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not from yourself. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. The Santa way is the way that we all typically think things work. It is, in fact, the way that religion works. Santa supposedly brings presents, but to whom? To those who are nice, to those who have earned the presents. They're not gifts. They're rewards for measuring up. And that's how we think things work, right? How do you get good things? You earn them. You work for them. You deserve them. People should get what they deserve, right? The problem with that is, who makes the nice list? The truth is, we all kind of fall short, don't we? So you better watch out. He's coming to town. What Jesus brought is a true gift not a reward for measuring up. And Luke 2:10 that Guillermo just read, according to the New Life Translation, the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of Jesus, saying, "Do not be afraid. See, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." There's some really important words there. He brought good news, not bad news. You know, if what he had come is, if what he was announcing was, "Hey, I've got a new list for you. That these are all the things you've got to do to get the, you know, to get the gift." That's not good news. That's just another burdensome list we have to live by. This is good news. Note that it's good news for all the people. It's not good news for just the deserving ones, the religious ones, the holy ones, the elite ones, the respectable ones. It's for all people. No matter how you might fear you have failed, no matter how messed up you think you might be, how far from being holy or religious you are, this is a gift for all the people. Because everybody can receive a gift. But what is this gift? Well, according to John 1:12, again, it's being a child of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means being loved by God. It means being in a relationship with him. It means being accepted by him, belonging to him, to having him as a father, a loving father. The unfortunate reality that a lot of us don't like to face is that human beings are created with an inbred need to be connected to God. And when we don't have that connection, we will always sense that there's something wrong. Jesus brought the gift, a gift we just accept and receive, that we can be accepted and loved by God, be connected to him. It is a gift that includes hope. It includes forgiveness. This is news, the angel said, of great joy. The gift is joy. You know, it's interesting that he said it's great joy, not just joy, but great joy. Do you know what the Greek word for great is? It's mega. So he says, I bring you news of mega joy. Hey, cool. Joy. You know, what is that? What is joy? Our little granddaughter, Ella, just had her fourth birthday. And part of the celebration of her birthday, her mommy and daddy took her, just her, to Disneyland for a day. And her little two-year-old sister stayed with Nana and Yapa. That's us. We took care of her because they wanted to give Ella an opportunity to go on all the fun rides that little Kara is too young to ride on. And so this was Ella's day. So they went to Disneyland, and one of the things that Ella insisted on from the get-go, she said, "I want to go on Space Mountain." 4 years old. I thought, well, there's therapy in the future right there, you know. You don't do Space Mountain. The kid's going to traumatize her. But she said, "I'm going to be brave." Well, you know what? She went on Space Mountain, and she loved it. She had a great time. And so at one point during the day, they were in line, because that's what you do at Disneyland. You're in line a lot. And they were in line for the Millennium Falcon. Excuse me. And while they were in line, they kind of struck up a conversation with this mom and her son that were also obviously in line. Ella is kind of a precocious child that she just sort of makes friends with everybody everywhere she goes, chats people up and charms everybody. And so she engages these people, and sure enough, they're just charmed by her. And then they found out that it was celebrating her fourth birthday. The woman was so charmed by Ella, she reached in her pocket, pulled out $4 and said, "Here, this is for you for your birthday." Ella said, "This has been the best day of my life." Her entire 4 years, this was the best one. That was joy. It was a joyful experience, and she had great joy, mega joy, if you will. But there's a problem with joy like that. And the problem is, it doesn't last. The day ended with tears as she had a meltdown before bedtime because she was so tired. You know, joy, what happened to that best day of your life? Ah, you know, that's, we all understand that, you know. The gift of joy that Jesus was bringing was joy that will be there always. Mega joy that never goes away. And our joy really is a response to something wonderful in our lives. When something wonderful happens, that's when we feel joy. We rejoice. But if you think about it, you'll realize all of us probably at some point in our lives have experienced actually being sustained through disappointment and hardship by a greater joy that goes beyond those things. I've watched our daughter and son-in-law exhibit that this year. After years of trying to have a family, experiencing constant disappointment, after getting to a place where it looked like that was not ever going to happen, actually just a year ago, it just turned into a disaster, and you know, it was just heartbreaking that it looked like they just were not going to be able to have a family, have children. And then Carissa got pregnant. It was like a miracle, literally. So she went through a difficult, high-risk, high-stress pregnancy. And then in September, their son Wesley was born. And all of a sudden, they were in a whole new world. Because if you've had children, you know those first couple of months are a little bit difficult, right? It's like, you don't know what's going on. You're confused all the time. You don't know why the child is crying. You don't know what's wrong. You don't know what's the best thing to do. And the worst part of it is sleep, forget about it. You know, you're up all night and you're exhausted. And it was really interesting for Lori and me to go over and spend time with them. And the most obvious characteristic we saw in the midst of all the difficulty and the exhaustion and the confusion of it was joy. They are so happy. And it's the joy that gives them the strength to keep going. It's the joy of this incredible miracle, this little life. That's what's giving them the strength. And all of us have had experiences in our lives when there's been something happening that's really hard, but there's been something else in our lives that's so great that we just are able to rejoice and keep powering through because we have a greater joy. And that is the joy that the angels proclaimed that night. Something that doesn't disappear when good circumstances are absent. It's always there. It is the source of strength that enables us to endure hardship. What gift could be better than that? Isn't the reality that all of us long for that kind of joy? Everyone wants mega joy, and the great news of Christmas is that mega joy has been offered to every single one of us through Jesus Christ, and all we need to do is believe and receive. It's the gift of something so incredibly good that it outshines the darkness of hard times. Is knowing for sure that God is there. He's entered this world in time, space, in human history. He's shown himself. He has loved us, and he doesn't hold our flaws and our failings against us, but covers them with his grace. It is knowing that he is Emmanuel. That's what they were to call Jesus, which was a title that meant God with us. He's going to be with us every moment of every day, guiding, comforting, strengthening us. And in the end, he's going to be with us for eternity as he gives us the eternal hope, the blessings of his heaven. If you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ and found the mega joy that every human being longs for, I urge you tonight to find real joy. God invites you. He says, I'm standing at the door of your heart and knocking. All you need to do is open it. Just receive it. It's not about measuring up. It's not about being religious and holy and somehow earning it. It's about receiving a gift that he freely offers, opening that door to him. And you can do that at any moment, even tonight. Just say, yes, I want Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord and my Savior. I trust in him. God will give you that gift. You will become his child. Most of you, I know, already have done that. I urge you tonight to keep believing and keep trusting in the joy that God has given to you. Rejoice in the greatest gift that you could ever receive. You have been given a gift in Jesus Christ that is the best thing on the planet, in the universe. So praise God, thank him for it, and this Christmas season especially, celebrate what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And then in this coming year, live in the reality and the strength of that joy every minute of every day. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we thank you that you've given us a gift in Jesus Christ. And the gift is the source of joy that knows no bounds and no limits. Father, we thank you for this joy. Sometimes we wander away from it and try to find joy in the stuff around us in this world. And it's nice when we can experience the joy of life here. That's good. But ultimately, Lord, help us to always remember the joy that we need that can give us strength and give us hope in the midst of whatever we're facing as the joy that Jesus Christ offers, a relationship with you that will last forever. Father, if there are any here who have not found that joy, I pray that even in this moment, they might ask you to come into their lives and bring your joy to them and establish a relationship with you that will last forever. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, born so long ago in such rude circumstances, to live in very difficult times, to go through a very difficult life, and to suffer and to die on our behalf. But we thank you that he didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead to bring us victory and hope forever. Thank you, Father, for your incredible sacrifice for us. Amen.